The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if this is true or not, but wow. Ali Connolly, he's a newsletter at Read Optional and a writer at The Guardian, saying that Bill Belichick has agreed to become the next UNC head coach. Belichick handed the school a 400-page organizational Bible with structure, payment plans, staffing choices, decisions on whether to commit with UNC. He's expected another decision within 24 hours.
Ooh, and this comes on the heels of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas interviewing Jerry Jones this morning, and Jerry Jones hyping up Bill Belichick. It's been all over ESPN. I think that if I'm Belichick, I'd wait out on that UNC thing and just take a look at what's going on with the Cowboys.
Tell Bill Belichick negotiations with North Carolina included guarantee that Stephen Belichick will be named the school's head coach in waiting. UNC is open to that guarantee. Discussions are not a bid to gain leverage for NFL offers, and Bill Belichick is open to the move. Interesting stuff.
Well, Bill Walsh finished up his career going back to Stanford, college, but yeah. It was such a different time of collegiate athletics and where Stanford was at as a program, where he was at in his life. And later on, he regretted not going back to the NFL or staying in the NFL longer than he did.
Well, you watched that Super Bowl when they beat Denver, and he started regretting, like, damn, I should be on that sideline. And he knew early on in that game that it was going to be a blowout, and the Niners blew them out. All right, Warriors real quick. Before we get to Doug Russell at 9:20, we'll talk a little baseball and Willie Adames and who he is as a player. And, of course, we're getting Juan Soto's contract. Interesting stuff Friday night with the Golden State Warriors is Jonathan Kuminga got to start. Draymond Green came off the bench. Now, Draymond Green ended up starting on Sunday. Andrew Wiggins was out. So if Andrew Wiggins is healthy, very eager to see what the lineup will look like moving forward. But there's been 13 different starting lineups with the Golden State Warriors. However, Draymond Green's postgame was very interesting. As Steph Curry touched on it, Steve Kerr touched on it, about J.K. and passing the torch to Jonathan Kuminga. So I'll start off with Draymond Green. This is after the loss Friday night, which the Warriors scored a season low, 90 points. They committed a season high, 22 turnovers in that game. But after the game, it was about J.K., who struggled at that start. He balled out on Sunday. I think overall had a great week. Here's Draymond Green on the J.K. conundrum, is what I'll call it, the Jonathan Kuminga conundrum.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure I'll close most halves. But not starting is not starting, you know? You're taking on a different role. And so, yeah, I don't necessarily look at it as like this demotion. You know, I'm a starter in the NBA. I know that, you know? So I don't look at it like that. But, you know, if it's something to try to help this team win, I'm always going to be for it, you know? I hate losing. So if you got something that's going to help us win, you're not going to get an argument from me. And as I've always said, I care about this organization. And I know a lot of people in this organization, including myself, think he's next. And so if he's next, at some point we got to see it. And for him to do that, he needs the opportunity. And like I said, if the opportunity falls on you, being me, then that's what it is, and you got to figure it out. And so he's earned the right to get that opportunity. And when I come back here in 10 years and I'm even more great than I am now, I want to see this franchise thriving. So if he's the guy that's going to do that, which I think he's more than capable of, great. It's perfect.
Let me make it out.
Well, which part? Because it was like the beginning was hilarious to me. There's this cachet was starting. And this is like the most obvious thing in the world. Like, I'm a starter in the NBA. I know that. Like, of course there's a currency. Like, in terms of NBA players, there is value to being perceived, known, being a starter. Like, that is, and I don't diminish, the closing lineups and things like that, because which is equally important to Draymond Green. But you could tell, like, we better be winning. Because I view myself as a starter, right? And then he's going on and on about Kuminga, and it does feel like they're reaching a point. I don't know if we're necessarily there yet, but there will be some sort of a metaphoric or actual lineup changing of the guard at some point, and Kuminga getting more opportunities at the four, playing at the expense of other players who mean maybe more to the overall Wikipedia page of the Golden State Warriors. Like, there's going to be a point in time where that torch will be fully passed, and I feel like we're in the process of seeing it handed. We're just not 100% there yet.
Not there yet, but it's very interesting as we got trade rumors swirling all today from Shan Sharani about Jimmy Butler having Golden State on his list of destinations. Cam Johnson, Dennis Schroeder, Dorian Finney-Smith in Brooklyn. They're on the market with the Brooklyn Nets, and apparently the Warriors are interested in them, so it's very interesting. Here's what Steph said about whether or not he was consulted about J.K. moving to the starting lineup.
Same process with all type of decisions. You give your input. Like I said to Jeannie's question, it's about the culture and the commitment of how we do things. Like, I've come off the bench plenty of times. Draymond's come off the bench. Wiggs, J.K., like, everybody's been in that situation where we're trying to figure it out, so... Who knows how long it'll last? Who knows if it's one game, five, who knows? You know, every day is us trying to figure it out, especially when in a situation we've been in where we start 12-3 and been on a big slide. We got to, you know, be all in on that.
And then oncoming is starting. Here's what Curry said about that.
For us to be good, you know, you saw it in the Houston game, you seen flashes. We need him to be the best version of himself. We have to be able to figure out whether it's play calls, whether it's certain rotation or lineup combinations, what can unlock his ability to get downhill, put pressure on the basket, demand attention from the defense. And he's a big weapon for us. So, yeah. And especially the way the early season's gone, you know, games that we've handed away after big leads, you know, tough scoring nights like tonight, you got to... The challenge of this team, we're a different team than we've been the last 3 years. And the experimental phase of trying to unlock new looks, new go-to sets, put the ball in his hands, it's time for that for sure. Because we haven't had results otherwise. So we got to lean into that. And might not go well every night, but that's what we're trying to build.
So empowering JK and maximizing him felt a little weird in this sense that, yes, sure, you want to maximize JK, but also you want to maximize winning. And does J.K. help you do that? We saw last week, I thought he had a really good game in Denver, really great game against Houston, taking over down the stretch and being the dude, taking the ball. And we heard from Steph and Dre empowering him, like, yo, go get the ball. Go out there and go get the ball and go to the rim and go finish with authority. And he also went 3-6 from the three-point line. But also, watching him Sunday, engaged in that third quarter, defending at a very high level. I thought he was special, but hearing that Steph and Dre trying to pass that torch, saying, Kuminga, we need you. Steph's dealing with the bilateral knee tendonitis. He's 36 years old. He's moving well, but he's seeing long, active defenders. And it's going to be a struggle every night trying to free up Steph and Curry, man. He is the number one, number two, number three option on the Scottie Report. They're trying to take him away, no doubt. And Draymond's dealing with a calf, and he's beat up, and he's had a lot of miles on those legs, and he's banged with these big men in the league for a long, long time. But is it a changing of the guard? Is this what Warrior fans want to see? Kuminga being empowered. And do you trust that Kuminga is capable of taking his franchise into the future as the guy in this franchise? You hear from Dre, you hear from Steph. They talked All-Stars. They talked about how good he is. But do the fans believe in J.K. the way Steph and Dre believes in J.K.? Interesting stuff there.
I've waffled so, like, especially in the last, 8 months, I've been so back and forth on this. And it feels like there has been a changing of the tide in the last couple of weeks. And I think it's, I go to the Steph and Dre specifically. I think they're actually acknowledging their own mortality. And I'm not saying that they're done. And I'm not saying that they're saying that they're done. But you do see some of the age. Let's say I'm this hypothetical that Steph Curry at his all-time peak was at a 100 overall. What's he at now? 96?
Probably.
All right. And I'm trying. 36. We're just spitballing here, right? He's at 96. Okay. By year's end, maybe he's at 95, 94, you know? And I think that he's realizing that, like, for this team, there's probably no magic bullet trade that makes them contenders. And he's the number one player on that team. And everything flows through him. And every single piece on that roster has to be catered to how he plays basketball. And I think there is some sort of an acknowledgement of their own mortality as they look at a younger guy who's so far away from being where they're at. But yet they can see, like, if he keeps going forward, it's going to make my game a little easier. And as I start to slowly tick down, okay, he'll make my game a little easier. I'll play a little better alongside of him. He'll start to elevate. His time is coming. It's not now, but his time's coming. I actually really like what I'm hearing from Dre and Steph because it's very self-aware. And I think that that's one of the things that has been missing the last couple of years. The last couple of years, it's felt like, we, the vets, are being let down by the others, the rookies, the other guys, the role players. And now it's like, yeah, we need help. And that's a far cry from where we were a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, yeah, where it was all the young guys' fault.
It's very interesting. And just the position of Stephen Curry, because you're right, it felt like, and I think it was more so for the feds, blaming the youngsters here.
You're probably right.
You know,
it's right.
It was just nauseating at times. Not just even thinking about it.
It was unfair.
It gives me a headache. It was just like, wow, okay. You know, especially because games were coming down to the wire. Your veterans are in the game down a stretch. It's like last week with Podziemski. I'm like, wait a minute. I get it. Podziemski had a terrible sequence, awful sequence that Steve Kerr called him out. But he also didn't play in the last 5 minutes, and you increased the lead. Once he left, you actually went up 8. So you got to make plays out of stretch. Again, execution. They weren't executing. Feels like the word of the day. Execute, execute, execute. Because I don't think there's a lack of effort with either the Niners or the Warriors. But when it comes to Kuminga, and I'm interested to see what Steve Kerr trots out there tomorrow, because Steve Kerr's been on record saying Kuminga's a 4. Draymond Green before the season said he's a 3. Now, I think he's a mix in between. Like, I think Kuminga is just he's a player, right? Possesses basketball. He goes out there and gets you a bucket. He gets to the free throw line. Is he a great 3-point shooter? He's only shooting 31%. Sometimes when he's playing defense, if he's not on the ball, kind of like Klay Thompson back in the day, when he wasn't on the ball, he would get lost off the ball, play a weak side. So that's where JK is at defensively. Sometimes he does get lost off the ball. But when he's on the ball, holy smokes, this guy can defend. So I don't know if he's a 4, if he's a 3. I just know the guy can help you win games. And he's a bucket. When you give him the ball and you clear out the section, you get him on the mid post, the guy gets buckets.
Well, I think this is not just a Kuminga question. Like, this is also like a conundrum, excuse me. It's also Steph Curry and Draymond. We all would acknowledge, like, Steph's a very unique player to play alongside, mm-hmm, both on offensive side and the defensive side. And I think the fair other counterpoint is that so is Draymond. Draymond's kind of a tweener. That's kind of what he, mm-hmm, came into the league as. People didn't know if he was a 3 or 4. Well, really now the question is he more of a 4 or 5, right?
Right.
If you play him at the 5, that comes with certain shortcomings because of the wear and tear, and he's not going to be able to match up with every 7-footer the same way. If you play him at the 4, who you play him alongside really matters in terms of spacing and fit on both ends. So, like, part of the conundrum with Kuminga is made a little more difficult because of Draymond specifically,
right,
and Steph specifically. And, like, I think that that's kind of baked into the whole Kuminga equation. And I just think it's really hard. It's hard to find the right pieces that fit alongside those three players.
Steve Kerr's trying to find the right formula here. Trying to find the right formula without DeAnthony Melton. Now, the trade rumor, and I would love to hear from Warrior fans at 888-957-9570, is John Charania this morning saying the Warriors have interest in the Nets trio. The Nets have received trade interest in around forwards Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and guard Dennis Schroeder, who we just saw a couple weeks ago when Brooklyn put it on the Warriors. They went on that monster run, hit a bunch of threes. What, they hit 19 threes in that game? 23?
Yeah.
Somewhere, oh my Lord, they beat Sacramento, the Warriors, and they finished. They had a hell of a week. But Brooklyn, they've got a lot of cap room. $60+ billion in salary cap space next summer, 12 first round picks, 11 second round picks. And look, they're obviously rebuilding for the future. They traded Mikal Bridges in the offseason to the New York Knicks. Warriors are among the teams that have expressed interest in those three players. 31-year-old Dennis Schroeder having a breakout, having a good season, making $13 million. He's averaging over 18 a game, 6.5 assists. Rival teams believe the Warriors are open to using injured guard De'Anthony Melton's $12.8 million expiring salary, along with draft incentives, to make a potential deal for that salary range.
Hmm.
So that would make a lot of sense, right? Now, the other rumor that Shams Charania reported out was Jimmy Butler. The Miami Heat, I think Pat Riley's sick of Jimmy Butler. He is.
That, to me, is a red flag.
He's sick of Jimmy
Butler. Is it not?
Absolutely. And the Heat are open to listening to offers for Butler and making a deal if the proposal is right. Lee sources told ESPN. And he's open to destinations such as Houston and Dallas and the Golden State Warriors. Now, also, he's
him and Dylan native Brooks. Houston. That would be interesting.
So, who knows?
Are you in on Jimmy Butler?
No, I'm not on him. With the way the Warriors play, he's a ball stopper, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But he's a hell of a player. I'm not diminishing. Jimmy Butler's a hell of a player.
He's old.
And I'd be open to it, but
it's too
he's 35, 36. Old. What's his three-point percentage?
He doesn't really shoot threes.
Yeah, well.
He does get to the free throw line.
In the playoffs, he hits threes. In the playoffs, he turns into a different player. But you got to get through the regular season to get through the Western Conference.
He's the reverse Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, taking a shot at Jimmy.
Well, it's just, you know.
Jimmy Butler, 19 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He's actually shooting this year 36% from 3.
Is he taking 2 a game?
He is taking less than 2 a game.
Okay.
Last year he shot 41%, taking 2.5. I'm looking here. Wow, he's a lifetime 33%. So, Warrior fans, you open to a trade or you want to ride with JK?